Today the Church celebrates the great mystery of Christ's ascension into heaven, which takes place 40 days after his resurrection. Again, I'm amazed so many times I ask people, like, did Jesus physically actually rise from the dead? So the dead body that was hanging upon the cross, that was whipped and beaten and scarred and crucified and was buried, did that rise from the tomb? People say, no, it didn't. Well, yeah, it did. That's the whole cornerstone of our faith, that yes, that Jesus did indeed rise physically from the dead and was made perfect and whole after that. That Christ remained with his apostles for 40 days, teaching them further, and then was ascended into heaven, goes back up to the right hand of the Father in that same body, the same body he received at his incarnation when the angel Gabriel asked Mary to accept that role as mother of the Messiah. And at that moment, humanity and divinity came together in Jesus. Jesus became like us to make us like himself and to raise us up to a new dignity. And thus today is not only Christ's ascension into glory, but ours as well. Today we celebrate that ascension of Christ as well as the dignity of the human person made in God's image and likeness, remade in God's image by Christ's death and resurrection. There's an old saying that states, God made me and God doesn't make junk. And that's true. God made us and God does not make junk. As scripture reminds us, in the beginning, the Creator made all things and he called all things he made good. As Jesus reminds us, God alone is good. Therefore, all creation reflects his goodness and his beauty, including us. The crown of his creation is mankind, man and woman made in God's image. Male and female, he created them, as Genesis tells us, from the dust of the earth, or as some translations will put it, from the slime of the earth. Either way, dust or slime, regardless, he takes it and he fashions us. He makes us like himself, with bodies whose mechanisms and anatomies astound the greatest of scientists and engineers. God gave us minds that are superior to any computer and go far beyond any so-called artificial intelligence. We're able to know him and to know things. We're able to think and to reason, to come up with abstract ideas, and we can make those abstract ideas become concrete realities. This is a faculty that God has given to human beings. We can know and distinguish good from evil, and we can freely choose to do good over evil. Most importantly, what makes us most like God is that since he is love, he has given us the faculty to love unconditionally, to know, to understand, appreciate, love, and serve him, to know, understand, appreciate, and serve one another, and love one another, to know, understand, appreciate, and do good for ourselves. As Psalm 139 so beautifully states, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, inside and out, with an intellect, a will, passions, desires, powers that we can control and discipline at will. That is what it means to have an immortal soul. We are not gods in our own right, but God has indeed made us to be like himself. We can be good if we remain faithful to truth, pursue truth, and act in truth. That is, in God's will, God's word, and God's life. If we participate in God's will, if we participate in God's word, if we participate in God's life, then those things will keep us good. And thus living in goodness and truth creates beauty. Whenever human beings live in goodness and truth, beauty is going to emerge. That is, in order, in peace, in balance, and in harmony. Beauty that's not only seen, but lived and experienced. God made me, and God doesn't make junk. Absolutely true. However, human beings can take what God has made good. We can use it for evil. We can twist the truth and create a lie. We can use our bodies to cause all kinds of harm and use them for sinful purposes. Man can take what is beautiful and trash it, turn it into junk, even ourselves. We can do it, and we have done it. Just go and look outside the church, look around, and you can see very clearly how disgusting human beings have allowed ourselves to become. I used to say that the further human beings distance themselves from God, the more like animals they become. At this point, that's an insult to animals. Even those beasts who kill for survival are much better than human beings who kill for no other reason than out of pure hatred or simply because they want to watch somebody die. People do that. Now, I'm not going to go into an exhaustive list of things, but I will say that the modern day assault on the human person through technology, political tyranny, a lust for power, control, and hatred for human life, and its attack on marriage, the family, human sexuality, and the human body as intended and created by God, is nothing short of demonic. Satan hates God because God created us. Satan hates life because Christ has given us life by his death and resurrection. Satan hates Christ because he's freed us from sin and death. Satan hates the church because we are the body of Christ. And Satan hates you and he hates me because we've been given more power over him by Christ. Oh, and he's going to use us. He uses our weaknesses. He uses our free will to choose him over Christ, tricking us into that. To choose him over Christ and to turn ourselves, to turn our world upside down, inside out, and into garbage. Satan wants to destroy everything that God has made good and will use us for those ends. He uses lies and temptation. We follow those lies. We follow temptation. What happens? We destroy, kill ourselves in sin. And sin is nothing else but a desperate pursuit of false promises of pleasure that lead to nothing but emptiness and despair. It's a vicious cycle. We keep on pursuing more false promises to alleviate the pain caused by pursuing other false promises in the first place. But brothers and sisters, we have the remedy. The remedy for change. As Jesus said in the gospel, go into all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to follow everything I've commanded you. That's the remedy. Our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection has begun that change. By remaining faithful to Christ's commandments each and every day, we confirm our conversion all through life. Not just at once, but each and every day, turning away from sin and pursuing good. St. Paul taught us in Ephesians that we've been given a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of Christ. We know what the commands of Christ are. We know what the gospel is. We just don't follow it. And he says, may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, that God has called us into a new life, a new dignity with Christ, and the riches of glory are our inheritance among the holy ones. With the saints, we inherit heaven with Christ. We have something great waiting for us if we remain faithful. Here on earth, we have a surpassing greatness of his power because we believe in him, and so he's given us something great. His great might, just as God raised Christ from the dead, he has risen, also raised us from the dead. Already, we have a promise to be seated at the right hand of the heavens. He has given us power through grace above every principality, authority, power, and dominion. This is why our prayers are so powerful, because we have a unity with Christ that even we have command over demons, as he told the apostles, if we stay faithful to him. Just as God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, so he gives to the church, the body, the very same power and authority that we share with him. It's the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. With this wisdom, brothers and sisters, you and I must then ascend. Raise our minds, raise our hearts, raise our desires, raise our wills, raise our souls to those things that are of God. And if we do that, God restores his image in us, making us more and more like himself. That's the meaning of becoming perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect, remaining close to Christ in love. Yeah, all of us have sinned, we know that. All of us have fallen short of God's glory, we know that too. all of us have been wounded, weakened by the original sin we're all born with, and also by the personal sins and weaknesses that we make throughout our entire lives. All of us are in some way imperfect. All of us are in some way damaged. We all have something wrong with us, mentally, spiritually, physically, psychologically, emotionally. But we cannot simply dwell on the wounds and have a pity party and not rely on the cure. The cure is grace. The cure is grace, sanctifying grace, sung over and over again, amazing grace. That is, the transforming power of God's love that's poured out to us in prayer, in the sacraments, in meditation on His Word, in deeds of loving kindness and mercy. Think about how many times we say, "I fail to pray," and we wonder why we don't have grace. We neglect prayer. "I don't feel forgiven." We never go to confession. We don't have the energy of the Eucharist because we deprive ourselves of the sacraments so many times in our lives. We don't meditate on Christ's Word, listening at Mass and even pondering on it throughout the week and reading Scripture. We don't perform deeds of loving kindness and mercy because we're too selfish and unforgiving. But if we did all these things, the great transformation that would take place. So how we deprive ourselves of the very thing that raises us up from the mire, from the slime, from the dust of degradation, and we become renewed and refreshed, refashioned as sons and daughters of God through grace in every way. As the psalm says, "The Son of God mounts His throne to shouts of joy. He ascends to the highest heavens. His majesty and might are in the skies, yet He stretches forth His mighty hand to all of us and cries out, 'Awake, you who sleep. Awake and rise from the dead, and I, your Savior, your Christ, will give you light, will give you life.'" As the psalm says so beautifully, "Blessed be God who restores the joy of my youth, who gives life to those who have gone down into the grave. In baptism, we died with Christ. Now we must rise and live in Christ, and Christ in us to raise us up now and forever."